The preceding program was a production. You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Time now to go to the Ohio Business Machines Hotline. We welcome in Daniel Jeremiah, analyst for NFL Network and NFL.com. Daniel, welcome to the show. Obviously, we got you on a newsworthy day here in Cleveland. Wanted to start off with your take, personally, your reaction to the Johnny Manziel situation.
Well, it's just disappointing. It's disappointing to me. And people can say, you know, it's his off week and he didn't do anything illegal, there's nothing wrong. But, I mean, when you've had the issues that he's had and then you finally get the opportunity that he has right now to be the starting quarterback going forward, you would just think there'd be a little more maturity and understanding of that situation and prepare yourself to play well down the stretch, because this really is – this could be the one shot of his career, you know, to get a shot to start these games in the second half of the season and find out what you have. Because if he fails miserably in this audition, you're looking at somebody that's going to have a career as a backup quarterback, fill-in type player. If he wants to be a long-term starter, and especially for the Cleveland Browns, he needs to handle his business. And this tells you that he's not necessarily focused on that task.
Talking with Daniel Jeremiah from NFL.com and, of course, the NFL Network. So with that being said, that being your opinion, I know that you've tweeted out at least one personnel executive you've talked to in the NFL. What is the sentiment that you're hearing around the league from personnel people about Johnny?
There's zero confidence in him. And this is, I want to make sure I say this is not from anybody from inside the Cleveland Browns organization. This is from people with other teams that, you know, did their homework on him, both as a player and as a person. And some of them liked him as a player, some didn't. But I can't find one person that I, you know or talk to or trust inside the NFL that is confident that this is going to work out for him. Not one.
Daniel, I put you in Mike Pettine's shoes right now, knowing that you had a meeting with Johnny, spoke to him specifically about, you know, essentially what he would not like him to do over the course of the bye week. What do you do now with him in limbo and not necessarily still the starter because Mike Pettine hasn't announced it, but do you go with Josh McCown? Is Austin Davis a guy who you've signed to a two-year deal and re-upped? Is he a guy that you give an opportunity to down the stretch?
Well, I mean, I'm not privy to the information of what Coach said to him or what Mike said to him in that meeting and how specific he was in his instruction and what Johnny had told him. But if we're to read between the lines and he sat down with him and said, hey, you know, take care of your business. Make sure we're ready to go next week. Don't embarrass yourself. Don't embarrass the organization. And Johnny, you know, is on board with that, gives him his word that's not going to happen. And then that's exactly what happens. I would think you make a move, at least if nothing else, you say, okay, you're not starting this week, man. You know, we're going to start Josh. And maybe that's a whole game. Maybe it's a half. But just some kind of a message to be sent that, come on, we got to be better than this. Knock it off. You know, there's definitely punishment for your actions, and this can't go forward like this. It's not going to work.
Daniel, when you talk about it is an embarrassment to the organization, and from the personnel people you've talked to saying they now have zero confidence in him, those few who still did have confidence in Johnny, why is that from an NFL standpoint? You've worked in the league. Why is that from an NFL standpoint? Because I think some callers are saying, hey, it's a 22-year-old guy. He went out and he was drinking on his day off. So what? Big deal.
Well, you've got, first of all, the position you play matters. And I know that obviously there's a lot of quarterbacks go out there and drink. When you look at the fact this guy was in a rehab facility, I mean, there's been issues there.
Sure.
And to ignore that is crazy. And to look at his past performance, it's not like he's got this unbelievable career and he's, you know, afforded the luxury of during a bye week not spending that time getting ready for one of your first starts. I mean, I hadn't played a whole heck of a lot in this league. You would think you would take every single moment to get yourself prepared to be successful. You know, and I get trying to relax or what have you. Then the other thing is just, I mean, it's not even what he's doing. It's not like he's in a restaurant, you know, having a drink. I mean,
right.
This guy, he's at a party, he's taking videos. It's just a bad look.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And not only a bad look on Johnny Manziel, but because of that meeting, even though we don't know what was said, a bad look on both Mike Pettine and the Cleveland Browns. And Daniel, with the national perspective that you have an opportunity to, you know, to gain access to each and every day, where do people lie or the buzz around the National Football League about both Ray Farmer and Mike Pettine? Are their seats getting warmer if they don't finish this job here with the last six football games?
I don't know. It's been so much turnover there, and you know, you guys know my background. I spent a couple years there in Cleveland,
yep.
And it's just, it turns over so fast, and there's been so little patience, and that, you know, like, it's been several regimes since I was there and left there in 2008. So, you know, trying to predict, you know, how much time guys have left has been a difficult proposition. I just know, you know, I don't know Ray Farmer very well. I've met him a few times. I know Mike Pettine. I've worked with Mike Pettine. I think Mike is a good guy. I think Mike's a smart football guy. But right now, it's not working right now. We'll see how it goes down the stretch. But I don't think anybody in the league can kind of predict the timetable of what takes place in Cleveland. It's just been so unpredictable over the last however many years, decade plus.
Talking with Daniel Jeremiah from NFL Network, NFL.com. Daniel, when you look at this Browns, let's just look at the four first-rounders because we've had a lot of draft picks, not a lot of impact yet, but Johnny, Justin, Danny Shelton, Cam Irving, how have you seen those guys develop? And or in the case of a guy like Justin Gilbert who can't see the field, what do you think is going on?
Well, you know, look, Johnny, the sad thing is that when you watch that Steelers game, there were positive signs from
sure.
him. He actually played pretty well. And, you know, I thought they did some really good things with him. They got him in a rhythm, got him. I know the points didn't pile up, but they got him some comfortable throws outside the pocket. He had some quick rhythm, three-step, get the ball out quick, and he started to look comfortable. Now we'll see, you know, all this drama that we have on the outs off the football field, how that affects it going forward. But at least there was some positive signs there with him on the field. Cam Irving, you know, he struggled. There's no way to sugarcoat that. That was a rough one. For him playing guard. I think long-term he is a center. He's still going to have problem when you get a lot of power over his face because he's just so tall and plays high. That's going to be a constant battle for him. But, you know, he's got a chance going forward at that position. I don't see him playing any other position and being successful as a center. And then when I, you know, Justin Gilbert to me is the puzzling one. You know, I watched him coming out. I thought he had an incredible amount of ability. And there's obviously something wrong there in terms of his focus, work ethic, or what's taking place there on the practice field, because he is a gifted athlete. I remember, I think I wrote it in my report on him. I said, at worst, you're going to have a Pro Bowl caliber kickoff returner. I mean, because he was so good at that in college, and he hasn't
sure.
been really given him much in that area either. And then what was, am I missing one?
Danny Shelton.
Oh, Danny. Danny, you know, Danny's been fine. It's hard that he's not going to be a big sack guy. I think he does look a little bit heavy to me. That was the issue, you know, previously at Washington, to the point where there was a story about how they told him his last year there, hey, you don't have to weigh in. You don't have to weigh in as long as you're playing well. And he played incredibly well. And then he had one bad game towards about the middle of the end of the season. They said, okay, now you got to get on the scale. And he was up about 15 plus pounds over what he had been earlier in the season. So then they had to drop his weight back down. So that would be my only issue with him. He's never going to be a big sack total guy, but I think he'll be fine. That'd be the one of all of them that I'd be most sure of going forward.
And Daniel, last question for me as we get back on the Johnny Manziel topic. Stephen A. Smith had an opportunity to get on, I think, SportsCenter this morning, and referenced that Johnny Manziel is trying to force his way out of Cleveland with some of his behavior. And I just, your overall thoughts on that, and is there any merit behind it that you believe that to be true?
Look, there's ways. I've heard of people trying to do such a thing in other cities and other sports, and trying to get out of a certain place. That's not unusual. Trying to get out of a place. If he thinks that this current behavior is part of that plan, I have serious doubts about that. There's ways through your agent and through your communication that you can, you know, relay your desires to move on and see what you can do from that standpoint. Going out and acting recklessly is not going to make him more attractive to anybody outside. So, yeah, I don't necessarily buy that. But I do have one question for you before I leave, because I got to get this answer. We've had this debate in my house with Thanksgiving coming up. I want to get some outside perspective, a Midwest perspective.
All right.
Best side dish for Thanksgiving. I go stuffing. We have a couple mashed potatoes, tapioca pudding. We have all kinds of things. So where do you guys fall on this?
I would personally go stuffing.
Okay. That's what I said.
Yes.
Okay. I've gotten this great sweet potato
casserole,
like kind of mashed with like some marshmallows on top of it.
Yeah.
Ooh,
I enjoy that. That's strong.
Right, that's good. I want to get a sampling around the country to see.
Yeah.
You know,
there you go.
There, There you go. All right, before we let you go, we have to ask this question because it wouldn't be a Browns radio show in the middle of the year without asking a question about the upcoming draft. Who are your top quarterbacks right now headed into the 2016 draft?
Well, I still got a lot of work to do on those guys. I'm going to try and get all of them seen live. I've been out. I've seen Hackenberg. I saw Goff last week. I've seen, Cody Kessler's a downline guy. But there's, I want to get out and see Paxton Lynch in his bowl game from Memphis, who's intriguing to me. In terms of the tape, I would probably say Goff and Paxton Lynch would be the two that were up there. I want to see Paxton Lynch in person before I really fully sign off on that. But I haven't seen a guy that was like, you look at him and say, okay, this is a lock. This is the guy. I haven't seen that yet.
All right, Daniel, we certainly appreciate the time. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for the insights, and happy Thanksgiving to you and your family. And I hope you get all the sides you want, my friend.
Appreciate it. Thanks, guys. Take care.
All right, Daniel Jeremiah at Move the Sticks on Twitter, of course, from the NFL Network and NFL.com. They're giving, again, not our opinion, his own opinion for being in the National Football League, that he was not happy. He would not have been happy at all with what he saw. And I thought very interesting comment that he has talked to personnel executives all around the NFL, none with the Browns, and there is, quote, zero confidence from any of them in Johnny Manziel based on his off-the-field actions.
And in some cases, it's probably the scouting report they had on him, they knew was something like this was just a matter of time. And that goes back to my point in Mike Pettine. Mike Pettine was patient and fought, tooth and nail to maintain Josh McCown as a starter, finally saw it fit to start to name Johnny Manziel the starter for the remaining six games, and then he does something like this. And now he's probably going back on what he thought he should have done originally.
Certainly. All right. When we come back, time for final thoughts. And we will go ahead and get that wrapped up here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Fords. Gurr and Wilhelm, CBD on ESPN 850 WKNR.